There's lots of great halachot in Hilchot Avilut. There's lots to go through. Ezrat Hashem. Chavod learning. Okay. The shiur should be Leilui Nishmat, my grandfather Daniel Ben Hillel. The shiur should be Leilui Nishmat, Daniel Ben Hillel, my grandfather, Alav Shalom, who unfortunately, about four years ago, had a tumor they found in his head. So when they operated on him, no one explained this to me at the time, but they operated on him to take out the tumor, and they basically put him in a coma for the rest of his life because they had to move his brain to take out the tumor. So I had the privilege for 3 years of being among many relatives who would visit my grandfather in the various hospitals and rehabs that he was in. He was somewhat awake, somewhat not, so whatever, different times, different experiences. And in the very beginning, I was learning Masechet Ketubot that year in YU, and on Ta'anit Esther, my chavrus and I did something totally different. We learned instead of learning Ketubot, we had covered a few sugyos in Avelut. The Gemara has a few sugyos in the beginning, first parak in Ketubot, so we had learned the sugya of Tefillin Ba'avel, as it comes up in Ketubot and Moed Katan. So I had the privilege of learning those sugyot with my chavruta on Ta'anit Esther, and then a day or two after, my grandfather had his operation, and I got to write up my notes next to him in the hospital, in I think somewhere in the city. So Mikey asked me to give a shiur, and I have literally nothing prepared except for these notes on Hilchot Tefillin Ba'avilut. So it should be Leilui Nishmat, my grandfather Daniel Ben Hillel, was very much an ish yashar, and we'll get to the yashrut Be'ezrat Hashem at the end. Why do we learn Hilchot Avilut on Tisha B'Av? Why do we ever learn Hilchot Avilut? Isn't it inappropriate? It's giving a siman ra. We want to have Avilut in our lives, that we're learning Hilchot Avilut. Some people used to get the heebie-jeebies. You know, like people, parents, when they don't want their son saying Kaddish, you're saying Kaddish for me. Bar Minan, Chas V'Shalom, Ayin Hara. So learning Hilchot Avilut is also an Ayin Hara. So, this is a big machloket for many generations. Nowadays, it's not such a machloket anymore, but it used to be that if you were caught learning Hilchot Avilut, people would try to like tell you to stop. When Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef was writing Yalkut Yosef on Avilut, Chacham Ben Tzion Rashal saw him and said, "What are you doing? It's not right. We don't do that." So I think his father said, "Don't listen to him." And that's how we have a sefer on Hilchot Avilut. So it's very worthwhile that we learn Hilchot Avilut. Rav Shechter always says that Rav Soloveitchik, when people would ask him, "How come you're teaching Moed Katan? You're teaching Hilchot Avilut?" He would respond that, first of all, there are two prototypical yeshivas. There is Velazhen and there is Slabatka. In Slabatka, they learn 9 nesechtos. They learn Gitin, Bava Kama, Ketubot, Yivamot, Vametzia, Bava Batra, and basically Gamarni. They only learn Nashim Nezikin, nothing else. In Velazhen, they learn from Berachot until Nida, and they finish it every few years. So that's what I do. We learn Moed Katan also. That's part of the Mesorah of the Soloveitchik family, to learn Moed Katan. And in addition to that, there is a really stunning statement to the Sefer HaChassidim, Rabbeinu Yehuda HaChassid. The Sefer HaChassidim says that a person who picks up a mitzvah that nobody else does, picks up a section of Torah that nobody else learns, and he learns it, it's like he's kover meit mitzvah. He grabbed on the mitzvah, the mate, that nobody else was doing, just like there's a person who's not buried, you have a corpse in front of you, it's a mate mitzvah, you have to stop doing everything and bury it. A person who grabs onto a section of Torah that nobody else is learning, and learns it, and teaches it, and practices it, whatever we're talking about, is ki'ilu his osek v'meit mitzvah. So, and he says, k'mo perek elu megalchim v'moed katan. Like the parak of Hilchot Avilut in Moed Katan. So even hundreds of years ago, this was a problem. Nobody was learning Hilchot Avilut. And now, we are, and we get to be Mekayim Sefer HaChasidim. So now, what is going on? What's the story with tefillin? I was just telling someone yesterday, I'm giving a shiur today on Hilchot Tefillin Ba'Avedut, and not wearing tefillin during Shiva. He said, no, you don't wear tefillin before the Kvura. But after the Kvura, of course you wear tefillin. So it's a Mishnah. But he's right. It's both Mishnayot. Before Avelu, the person is not in Avel. Before they bury the body, a person is in Onen. Misha Meitom Mutal Lefanav. He has his body in front of him, a family relative's body in front of him. He has to bury it. Midr Avanan, he's not allowed to be Osek in any mitzvot. Aseh. Mitzvot Aseh, of course, he has to keep. But any mitzvot Aseh, he's not allowed to keep, because it's inappropriate to be running to Mincha, and then running to Arvit, and then worrying about all these different mitzvot, Perachot, whatever. When you're supposed to take care of burying this body, it's not kavod hameh. It's midr abanon. It's machloket Rashi and others. If it's an option, if it's a chiyuv, you're not allowed to do anything. Or if you don't want to, you don't have to. We hold it, you're not allowed to. Person who's an onen is not allowed to do mitzvot at all. No davening, no mitzvot. It's a machloket. But the man, you're not allowed to do mitzvot. So tefillin is included in that. But let's say the person passes away, motzei Shabbat, he's buried Sunday morning. Sunday morning at, let's say, 10 o'clock. So, and they finished the kibura by 11. Now he's chayiv in all the mitzvot again. He has to say Birkot HaShachar, Shacharit. We'll get to tefillin, talit. He has to have the Sudah HaBra'a. And he makes Berachot again, and everything is normal. And the onen is not allowed to eat meat or wine. And Avel is. Except Persians added on. Many Persians have the custom not to eat meat or wine during Avelut either. But Minat Torah, Midrabanan, for sure it's not necessary. Only in Aninut, a person cannot eat meat or wine. Now, what the Mishnah tells us, a very interesting halacha, that Yechezkel Navi's wife was killed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She was taken away from him by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And based on the way Hashem talks to Yechezkel, we learn various Hilchot Avilut. For example, Ha'anek Dom, you have to be quiet. Hashem tells Yechezkel. You see from there that an Avel in general has to be quiet. And then Hashem tells Yechezkel something very interesting. It's Pe'echa Chavush Alecha. Your Pe'er, your splendor, your Tefillin Shavrosh, you should make sure to put it on. You put it on, the Gemara says, but you see that in general, an Avel is not supposed to put on his Tefillin. As we know that Tefillin is the Pe'er, it stands out, it's our splendor, it's our Hadar, and an Avel should not be wearing it. So the Rishonim explain it because it's not appropriate. An Avel is in such a state of mind. He doesn't have Yishuv Hadad, he's in a different world. When he's in Avelut. Certainly during Aninut, he has to focus on the Kibura. But during Avelut, his brain is in a different place. He can't sit and have Yishuv Hadat if he's going to put on his Tefillin. And it's not going to be appropriate for the Tefillin. So you should not take a day off from Tefillin. The thing is, how much should he take off? How many days? How long does the status of Avel last that he should not be involved with Tefillin? Any ideas? How many days? It's machloket, so you can get one answer, at least one answer. Give me numbers first. One day. No one says one day. No one says one day. So guess again.
3 days.
7 days. 7 days. That's a shita, but in a different case. Yeah. There's one more shita. 2 days. 2 days. That's what you're getting to. But we'll get to. It's machloket, Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer's for the first 2 days or the first 3 days? During Avelut. Shiva. Buried the person Sunday morning. Asur. Everybody agrees the first day to wear tefillin. You're getting to Maritats. I just listened to the shir also. Just as Chazar and on the way here. Rabbi is Baruch Hashem, a good teacher. But we're getting there. That's the end of the shir.
I thought also that Gemara was affirming that two or three was really not including the second day.
Oh, perfect, Baruch Hashem. We're getting there. Because? Why is it 1 and 2? Baruch Hashem. I should have titled it Chazar Ashir instead of Shir. Okay, so we'll get there. It's Machloket Rabbi Eliezer and Yehoshua. And there's another din also. There's, first of all, how many days are you not allowed to wear tefillin? It's Machloket 2 verses 3. Rabbi Yehoshua says 2 days. And Rabbi Eliezer says 3 days. Now, you want to tell me Miksat HaYom Kekulo, right? That once you start the second day, I can halakhically declare the second day is over, and then the third day begins. Just like on the seventh day of Shiva, Nobody keeps 7 full days of Shiva. We always say, on the 7th day after Shacharit, once the people, the mourner, the people who came to visit them leave, we say that they can declare day number 7 is over, Miksat HaYom Kikulo, partial day is like a full day, goodbye, no more Shiva. They can go change, they can go do whatever they need to do and fine. So that applies also here, but it's a little bit different. First, let's go through the two shitas in the Tanaim, and then we'll discuss how to apply Miksat HaYom Kikulo, because it's a partially separate issue. First is a machloket, 3 days or 2 days. And then once you have those 3 days, what happens on the third day? What happens on the next day? Sorry, what happens on, let's say you hold Rabbi Yoshua, day number 2 is Asur. On day number 3, are you immediately allowed to put on tefillin? What happens if somebody shows up and he hasn't seen you yet? It's a halakha called Panim Chadashot. Just like by Sheva Berachot, we have this concept called Panim Chadashot. People who weren't at the wedding, people who weren't at the Sheva Berachot meals the previous nights, and they allow you to reenact, re-experience the wedding, and therefore we can recite Sheva Berachot once more, either because they missed it or because I'm experiencing it again because you were here. So too, there's a halacha panim chadashot by tefillin. Even on the day after, the day becomes mutar to wear tefillin. You're not allowed to wear tefillin, everybody holds, if panim chadashot arrive. Peloni and Almoni were not at the Levaya. They did not come to Shiva the first 2 days. Now on day number 3 they show up and I'm about to put on my tefillin before Shacharit. Asur. Asur the whole day. Until they leave. If they showed up once, he has his tefillin on. Does he have to take them off? That's a machloket. Another machloket, the same two people. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Eliezer, Mr. 3 days, says you don't have to take them off on the 4th day when they show up. Rabbi Yoshua, Mr. 2 days, says, if they show up and you have your tefillin on day number 3, take them off. Choletz versus eno choletz. How do we paskin? We split, the Gemara says. The kula both ways. Halacha kidivrei hamekel ba'avelut. We always go the kula when it comes to avelut issues, sometimes even if they're not related to avelut. And therefore we say, how many days is it asur to wear tefillin? 2. What do you do on day number 3 when people show up? And you have your tefillin on already, you don't take it off. Eino choletz. And now you want to tell me how many days is it in practice? I mean, why don't we apply miksat hayom kikulo? So we should and we do. The question is from when? 3 shitot in the Rishonim. Some apply miksat hayom kikulo only from after Shacharit and on. That means that for Shacharit he shouldn't wear tefillin, and then on the 3rd day after Shacharit and people leave, so then he may put on his tefillin after everyone leaves. We don't hold out. We don't hold that way. The Torah says like that, but we don't hold like that. Maran Shulchan Aruch assumes and says lahalacha that we hold miksat hayom kikulo from Netzach Hama. So that means that the people, as long as the other menachemim who were not at the Levaya yet show up after Netz, the Avel can put on his tefillin after Netz, and then he can keep them on once they come. The Rosh Hashanah always says this is a problem. That people show up, because in the winter especially, you can't always daven after Netz. People have to go to work, and they want to do a chesed of coming to the Shiva Minyan. So, if they show up before Netz, the Avel is not allowed to put his tefillah on even after Netz. So you have to make sure, Rav Shechter says, that in those cases, they schedule the Minyan for after Netz, and the Avel has his tefillah on before he opens the door. Because if he opens the door and they come in and they weren't at the Levaya, so it would not work. He would not be allowed to put his tefillin on. Those are the basics of how it works in terms of tefillin. This is in Siman Shin Pei Tet in Yoredei'ah. And there is another halakha that he has to keep in mind all week long. Maran writes in Sif Bet of Shin Pei Chet that he's in the middle of bringing these people into his home. There's going to be a Shiva call. There's going to be remembering the loss that he's going through. It's going to be an emotionally difficult experience. He has to make sure he's focused on his tefillin. Shelo yasiach ta'ato mehem. Aval b'shat hesped, uvechi lo manach lehu. You're not allowed to wear tefillin while you're giving a hesped. So after the minyan is over, the avel better take off his tefillin before he engages in discussing about the mate and crying about the mate. So when Rabbi Menashe died, there was somebody who was the morning of the Levaya, just this week. Just this morning, Monday morning, I was at Rabbi Cohen's shul, and somebody was crying with his tefillin on. It's hard. When you lose your Rebbe, you lose someone who's so important to you, it's very hard to not cry. So you have to make sure in those cases you have to not wear tefillin. You're just not allowed to wear tefillin in that case. Nothing to do with the first day, seventh day, whatever. It's not okay to wear tefillin. So now Yoav was hitting on another important issue. Let's make sure I had everything here. By the way, you should know the Shita of Miksa Yom Kekulo Balayla is an opinion in the Rishonim and of the Radbaz. It doesn't always apply, but it becomes a tziruf lahakel in some situations. For example, let's say it's a woman is not allowed to be with her husband during the entire week of Shiva, and if she is in Avel, she's not allowed to go to the mikveh the entire week of Shiva. But in the case where her Lil Tevila is on the seventh night, the night before day number seven of Shiva, there are those who permit her to go to the mikveh by declaring after Tehillat Chavim, Miksat Hayom Kekulo, and it's already, entire day number seven is over, and let her go to the mikveh. I'm not passing that way, I'm just giving you another example of how you could apply the halacha of Miksat Hayom Kekulo Balayla, according to some Rishonim. In fact, here in the sugya of Tefillin, there's a stira within the Ramban, in the Sefer Torah HaAdam, which is the source of basically all Hilchot Avelut, right? Of Moreno HaRav Eliyahu Ben Chaim said the other week in Shiur how there are chunks of Shulchan Aruch that are straight Mishneh Torah. The Rambam is the king for all of Orach Chaim. All of Orach Chaim is basically Mishneh Torah. But then you get to other things, such as Yoreh De'ach Yelech Aleph, from Siman Aleph until Siman Kuf Mem, is straight Torah Tabayit of the Rashba. The Rashba is the king, because the Torah like the Rashba is Torah Tabayit HaKatzar, and he did the whole thing straight like that. And then you have other things, which are based off of other Rishonim. Hilchot Avelut is entirely Torah Ha'adam, not the Rambam. It's literally straight Torah Ha'adam. The Rambam has a monograph on a person's, life cycle experiences of Avelut and a few other topics over there. So whenever you learn Hilchot Avelut, it's a kedai to have a Torah Ha'adam. We have them downstairs. This is the green volume of Kitvei HaRamban, not the Perush HaRamban, that we don't have. But the Kitvei HaRamban we have downstairs in volume 2 of Shavel. We have other editions of it. We don't have the Rav Shavel. Rav Chaim Shavel did an amazing job of dedicating his life to the Ramban and writing comments on the Ramban, dealing with textual issues that explain to you how everything the Ramban says fits in his general corpus of ideology and theology of halakha. It's amazing. So it's very kedai to look there sometimes. And Ramban has a stira about this idea about Miksa Hayom Kekulo by Laila. The Ma'aseh, we said how it's important on the second day, fine. Now, this is the difficult machloket. Right? Everything I told you until now is basically muskam halakha, and very little room for machloket. I mean, we paskin the machloket. Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Yezer, we split, fine. Now it gets the fun part. The fun part is like this. Is Avelut min HaTorah mid Rabbanan? Machloket. Okay. Which part is machloket? First day, Yom Rishon. So the Rambam begins Hilchot Avel. Halakha Aleph, Perek Aleph, Hilchot Avel. The Rambam says, Moshe Rabbeinu, Tiken Lahem Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu instituted for all of Am Yisrael, Shivat Yimei HaMishneh, Shivat Yimei HaAvel. Moshe Rabbeinu was the person who gave us the mitzvah of Shavah Berachot and the mitzvah of Avelut of Shiva. However, the Rambam says, based on the Rif in Moed Katan and other places, that, and maybe the Bahag also holds this way, that it's a big deal and fine, that Acharitah Ki Omar, the most bitter day, is the first day, and that one is Min HaTorah. That one is Min HaTorah, the first day. And then this is a grand debate between the Rishonim. Is Avel Yom Rishon De'oraita? Is Avel Yom Rishon De'oraita? Maran Shulchan Aruch holds like the Rambam, that it is Min HaTorah. And the Rama and Ashkenazim always assume that it is Midr Abana. So whenever you're learning Hilchot Avelot, you have to keep in mind, is the posek I'm reading making an assumption of the nature of the first day of Avelut? Does it play a factor in what he's saying? Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. You have to keep it in mind, and then therefore if someone who's, let's say, holds one way tries reading the other way, you can try to get clarity of what is and what is not the case. So Avel Yom Rishon is Min HaTorah. So maybe this concept, oh, and by the way, when is it Min HaTorah? Yoav was saying, Ryan was saying, it's only Min HaTorah when it's both the Yom HaMitah, it's both the day of death, and it's the Yom HaKevurah, and it's the day of burial. If it is not, then everyone holds that it is Midr Habana. Everyone holds that, because it's not the most bitter day. It's the most bitter day when you lose someone and you're burying him that day. That is extremely, extremely bitter, and it's therefore very inappropriate, emotionally, to be wearing tefillin. The Rabbanan said, don't wear tefillin that day. So the Maharitats, there's two Maharitatses. Anyone know what the Rosh Hashanah are? Maharitats is a great Gaon, there's two great Gaons. One was older, one was younger, both around the times of Maran the Shulchan Aruch. Number one is Maharitats, is Rav Yontov ben Saholon. He was a Rav in Salonika, I'm pretty sure. He was in Tzfat, I think, around the times of Maran, and sometimes he's a little bit younger. And there's Rav Yosef Tait Tzadak. He's the other Maharitats. No, he was a Dayan in Salonika, I think. I may be mixing them up, but the point is, you should know, here's Rav Yosef Tzahalon. Rav Yosef Tzahalon, Maharitats, is the first one. Is the first one we're going to discuss right now. He has this Chidush, which caused a massive ruckus in the Olam HaPoskim. Maharitat said that when is it that we say that you are patur from tefillin on Yom Rishon? Only when in the Yom Rishon is Yom HaMitah v'Yom HaKippurah. Only when a person passes away Motzai Shabbat and he's buried on Sunday morning, that day, asur v'tefillin. But if he passes away on Shabbat and the earliest opportunity to bury him is on Sunday, and that's what I'm just giving you an example, then that case, when they get home from the cemetery, he prays Shacharit with tefillin. That's the chidush of the Maharitats. And the poskim have a field day, being nosev v'noten in this Maharitats. Do we hold like it? Do we not hold like it? Is he right? Is he wrong? Ashkenazim, either way, Ashkenazim say that they hold that Avil Yom Rishon is Midr Habanan. It doesn't matter to them Yom Rishon is Doraita or not. So it's not nichnas, and therefore they reject the Maharitats. And say, anyway, in any event, we do not wear tefillin on the first day of Shiva, regardless of the Yom Mita Yom Kfura. For the Sfaradim, this is unresolved. You have people like the Ben Ishchai, Kafachayim, Chacham and Sion, who think that, of course, the Maharitats is wrong. Of course, it has nothing to do with Yom Rishon, is in our Torah or not. And of course, we always don't wear tefillin on Yom Rishon, no matter what. At the same time, Chacham Avadian has a Teshuvah and Yavi Omer, where he basically reminds you how there's a whole Olam HaPoskim who disagree with Chacham and Sion and Kedarko, and then they all do subscribe to the Maharitats. So what are you supposed to do? By the way, Rabbi Levar and Magen Avot, he thinks that Rav Avadia is wrong, and for sure Halacha does not follow the Maharitats, and the entire world is Noheg that way and Posek that way. Okay, they say that. What do you do in practice? As I said, nobody should have to, but what does one do in practice if he's faced with a situation where he lost a relative on day one and buried him on day two? In such a situation, Rav Ovadia, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and others recommend and say that the minhag is, in some places, that one should not put on tefillin in front of everybody, but rather steal away at some point and quickly put on tefillin without a beracha, in a side room where nobody will see. That's apparently what Shlomo Zalman himself did, and apparently that is what the minhag of many places is. So that's the shita of Maharitats.
It's on the same day then.
The same day, everybody is modeh. We have Achdut of all Am Yisrael on the same day.
You don't
put on tefillin.
One day to apply, and if they have some reason delayed, day three or day four.
Would you? Let's say you bury him on Tuesday. It has to be on Shabbat. You still do not, according to Ashkenazim, you still do not put on tefillin that first day. Yeah, it would still be the same. If you reject the Maharitats, whatever day it is, I think you would. He might be putting on tefillin in the meantime.
Yeah.
If there's nothing else to do, then his aninut might end. In the meantime, he might have to put on tefillin and not put it on again.
Doesn't make a difference if it's a
Shmur Chukah or Shmur Kerovah. So Shmur Chukah, for sure, you wear tefillin. Shmur Kerovah, you don't wear tefillin, I'm pretty sure. That's why everyone says, that Maritat says, Lo gara mishma rechoka. But there's two things. There's three different ways to sit Shiva. You can sit Shiva if you witness the death of a relative and you attend his burial, and then you start Shiva at the end of the burial. But if you're not present, you don't know about it, and they inform you about it within 30 days of the mate of the mitah, that's called a shmua kerova. You heard it from nearby. Yeah, of course. We'll get there, one second. And so Shema Kerova means 30 days. And then a person hears within 30 days, he has to say, all of Shiva. And Shema Rechoka is you heard it after 3 days are over. And then, you can't, so you don't say Shiva, you said 1 day of Shiva. Not 7 days, just 1 day. So David's asking, is it possible nowadays in the world of communication, you know, everyone knows everything about everybody across the world, you know, you're in the Tehillim chat, so then you see a Baruch Ha'in HaEmet, it doesn't matter where it's coming from, you found out about it right away. So do you really have a Shema Kerova, Shema Rechoka? So it can happen, because let's say a person is not with himself, and they don't tell him about that. The Rosh Hashanah always says how when his father died like 15 years ago or something like that, his father was in his 90s. So in his 80s, his brother was still alive, and Rosh Hashanah's father always told him, when my brother dies, don't tell me. It's a big tircha for me to sit Shiva. Let it become a Shema Rechoka, wait 30 days, and then tell me about it. And that way I won't have to sit Shiva. And if he doesn't want to, then it's all Dion in Halakha, that's okay. But
even for a parent to call
and
sit Shiva after
Shiva? Even for a parent, no, Halakha is that you should inform about a parent, I'm pretty sure.
That is Maslok and Maran and Rama, if you have to tell a person or someone.
Yeah, so I have to double check. I'm not in the Sugya right now. I know there's the Yad Malachi who reads Maran a certain way about Nihugi Avelut. And you can read the Yad Malachi another way. So I don't want to be nichnas too much into the Sugya because it's not in my fingertips right now.
According to Marietat, let's say somebody goes to an area where nobody knows would be able to go to Minyan and put on tefillin if it was Yom HaMita and Yom HaKura weren't on the same day and he's putting it on after the Kura.
Point, Marietat. You're saying that way there's no like
no
tzit go to do problems, people thinking you're keeping halakha properly. He's not allowed to leave his house though. So you're saying if he had a Shiva Minyan and they don't know. And Maritaz doesn't care. Rosh Hashanah Zalman cares. Rosh Hashanah Zalman says you should do it in private. So what if it's so no one knows anyways? You're in a community where people know but they don't appreciate the halakha.
Right.
So what difference does it make? Do it in private, do it in public. I don't know.
Rosh Hashanah Zalman said to do it with or without a
beracha. Without a beracha. Rosh Hashanah Zalman, Rav Avadia, no beracha, side room, nobody's looking. But it doesn't happen so much nowadays that it's Yom HaMitzvah, Yom HaKfurah outside of Yerushalayim. Even in Yerushalayim, but especially outside of Yerushalayim, it doesn't happen a lot. Because let's say someone dies Monday afternoon or Monday morning, they're not going to be able to put a levaya together until at the very earliest Monday night. And here, they close the cemeteries at 4:30. In Yerushalayim, they bury at night. So if a person dies at night, they might manage to get it in at the very least at night, if not the morning. Other places, you wait for someone to come or whatever it is. Things get delayed. It's very common to not have Yom HaMita Vakura and then to enter the Machloket. It's not as common to be the Kuli Alma Yom HaMita Vyom. So Yoav is asking about Yeshua Kirova. I think that, if I recall correctly, the Maritatis argument is that by Yeshua Kirova, you found out randomly that a relative died. Sit Shiva, no Sefilin on day number one. So why is this any worse than Yeshua Kirova? I think that was his logic also. But I don't remember anymore at the moment, so I have to look into it some more. Ezad Hashem. That was the machlokes about the Maharitats. You should know also, for those who wear tefillin, the Rabbeinu Tam, right? There's two versions of tefillin, actually much more than two versions of tefillin, but Ryan's thinking 72, I'm thinking 4, and I don't know all 72, I only know 4, but Ezad Hashem.
There
was 64. I'm going to say 64, maybe. Fine. There's four shitot about how to put all four parashiyot of tefillin. Right, there's Kadesh Li V'Haya, Shema and V'Haya. So is Machloket Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam are Havayot Ba'emtza, or is it Kaseder? Because if anyone actually puts Havayot in the middle, and the Kadesh Li V'Haya, V'Haya and Shema, and the Tefillin Shel Rosh, it's more pronounced because it's four different pieces of parchment, as opposed to Tefillin Shel Yad, it's one big piece of parchment. It's there too, but it's more pronounced there. And then, according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's Havayot Kasidran. Pretty sure, right? So it's Kadesh Li, V'Haya, Shema, V'Haya. And then there's this thing called Shimush HaRaba. There's a Sefer they had called Shimush HaRaba. In the post, the Rishonim talk about the Sefer. And the Rosh says, in the version of Shimush HaRaba in front of me, it's Rashi, but flipped. Meaning, instead of being Kadesh Li, V'Haya, V'Haya, and Shema, it's Shema, V'Haya, V'Haya, Kadesh Li. So, therefore, there's a third sheet of Hadith Tefillin. And the Ra'avad, who already held like Rabbeinu Tam, said, no, in my version of Shimush HaRaba, it's Rabbeinu Tam flipped. So then Havayot Ba'emtza just flipped again. So there's four ways to do tefillin. So big tzaddikim wear all four. Little tzaddikim wear two. That's different ways to do it. So everyone reaches one level of tzitzut. Even nowadays, it's not even known as such a tzaddik. Even normal people, once they get married and can have more kavana, and they're with their tefillin on, they wear Rabbeinu Tam as well. So not look at how to wear it. It's not, maybe it's not appropriate for Tisha B'Av to tell you. But if you look at Rabbi Menashe, he did it one way. Looked at everybody else, they do it another way. But anyway, then bigger tzaddikim, where the other two in private or at mincha or other things, depends on the situation. Chabad does all four in the morning. Sfaradim do the other two in the afternoon at mincha. They don't even know Sfaradim do Ra'avad, but they do at least Shimushar Abad normal. So now what do you do about Rabbeinu Tam? We're a little tzaddikim for now. So let's talk about Rabbeinu Tam. Shimushar Abad, I don't know. But Rabbeinu Tam is a machloket what to do. It's a machloket mekubalim. About what to do about Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin during Shiva altogether. And that's what David was saying. 7 days. According to the Aruch HaShulchan, 7 days, no Tefillin at all for Rabbeinu Tam. Take a break, and you're done. According to others, the Chida says, I think others say that it's Machloket Mekubalim, and the Minhag is that you wear Tefillin at Rabbeinu Tam, not on the first day, not on the second day before Netz, and you shouldn't put them on until after Shacharit, I think. But everyone, but all the other days, you wear Tefillin the Rabbeinu Tam during Shiva. Those are the highlights of Tefillin during Shiva. There we would try to make sure you're more makbid on the Yom HaSheni. And there's one little prat that I missed. I heard from Rabbi Leibowitz in the car as I was coming in. It was a good Ha'ara also. That let's say it's a case of Yom HaMita VeHakfura on separate days. We enter the Maharitatz Machloket, right? Person passes away on Shabbat, buried on Sunday, and now it's Monday. Monday morning, it's a pre-Nate, it's around Nate's Vinyan, and people are going to show up. So you have to be makpid when you already have a Maharitatz situation of it's day number 3 since the Mitah and day number 2 of Shiva to be concerned for Yom HaSheni, that people shouldn't come before Nate and whatever. So I believe it said you can be makil on that. Because already it's a seksveka of sorts. Whether you need to be not wearing tefillin the day before that. So kol shekein this day, you can be mako, because yesterday you might have had to wear tefillin also. Fine. Now just to conclude, it's an important point about everything. The Rashi and the first Rashi in the Torah begins and says that Bereshit bara Elohim Rashayim la'aretz. Why did the Torah begin with Bereshit? Everyone should know this Rashi by heart, right? Even because to paraphrase, I don't know it by heart. I know some of it by heart. Is that Rashi says that Hashem wanted to start off the Torah, even though the Torah is not a history book, and you really should just start off from Chodesh HaZelachem, the first mitzvah, it's a book of mitzvot. And the Torah begins from Bereshit because Koach Ma'asav Yigid La'amo La'ated Lahem Nachal Goyim. Hashem wants to show that He created the world, and He, throughout the course of history, set it up in such a way that Am Yisrael gets Eretz Yisrael. And nobody else can have a ta'ana. This is our shetar. This is our proof of purchase of Eretz Yisrael. Nobody else can deny it. Rashi says, "Latet li ashar be'enav." To give it to that whom He wants to give it to. So it's very interesting. You have to have a whole Sefer Bereishit. You know how many long shleimikras that is? To just to prove that we own Eretz Yisrael. And it doesn't even work. Everyone complains that we don't own Eretz Yisrael. We still have to fight for Eretz Yisrael. That's one of them. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky thinks that no, it's not just about a historical point. It's also about Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. The Bereshit is called Sefer HaYashar, the Book of Yisharim. Yisharim are the Avot, Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. And they show us throughout the vignettes of Sefer Bereshit that are not arbitrary. It's not a history of them. Even according to Rashi, there's only selected things mentioned about each of the Avot, more about some and less about others. And the point is to teach us Musar how to be a mensch, how to have derech eretz in order to reach the Torah, Ma'amad HaSinai in Parashat Yitro. And then it says in his amazing Hakdama too, Sefer Bereshit says, it's called Sefer HaYashar, because Yashrut is necessary for the existence of the world, and the existence of Torah. And Sefer HaYashar, we want Eretz Yisrael, we have to be Yisharim. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov got along with everybody. But in the times of the Korban, Bayit Sheni, they were the biggest Talmidei Chachamim. They knew everything. They were redacted with mitzvot, kichur ha-sa'ara, and ben adam l'makom. But ben adam l'chaveiro, you think differently than I do. You shouldn't be doing this. You should be doing this. your apikoros, chayav ita, and moridin ve'malin. If I happen to be walking by you and nobody sees, I'll just push you into the pit. I'm not going to help you out. You're a chayav ita anyway. And what are we supposed to do? It says the Netziv. That's why the korban came. If we want binyan beit hamikdash, we have to learn from the avot who got along not with people who went to Beis Yaakov, not with people who learned in yeshivas. There were no such things. They got along, and they were moser nefesh for ovdei avodah zara. Doesn't get worse than that. And the people of Sedom, Vayarach el Chanichav, Avram Avinu, got up and he was mevatel his seder to go to war to fight against and for of the Avodah Zarah. That's called Yashrut, because it's the right thing to do. To be a Yashar and to learn from all the various vignettes of Sefer Bereishit and is what it takes to be Zoche to the Binyan Bayit Sheni. And it's so sad. Now, just the past 2-3 weeks, those who know, and those who don't know. I'm not someone who should take a say, but it should be on our minds. That when rabbis get up and start saying that other rabbis are chayav mita, it literally screams this hakdama of the Netziv. That Sefer Yashar, that they used to think they weren't Yisharim. They used to think that you're an apikoros if you don't think the way I do. And therefore you're chayav mita. It just makes you wonder, of course there's no binyan bayit. Of course there's a korban. Of course there's Tisha B'Av. When stupid rabbis get up and say such terrible things every year, this year, and it makes it very clear to you. At the same time, for us, B'nai Torah, B'nai Aliyah, who are spending our summer learning Torah, so many siddarim a day, it behooves us to keep our minds open as we come back to Elul, come back to Rosh Hashanah, Sichat Torah. It doesn't end. Reishit comes, Sefer Yashar, this is Musar Seder. Every single week. Forget about this week's parasha, last week's parasha also, by the way. It's a tremendous Musar Seder. Divarim Vaychanan is tremendous Musar. But even that's the makeup Musar, so you messed up Musar. Bereishit is the how to do it right. The Acharis Kadna La Torah Musar. You should make sure to do it right and learn it right. And then that's what Rashi says at the end. Whom did Hashem want to give the Torah to? To show his Gedulah. And Rashi ends off, my friend Judah Max Avitan pointed this out to me, that Rashi ends off, Latet Li Yashar Ve'enav. Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Yashar Ve'enav. To realize what it takes to be a yashar, even when things are difficult, to make those decisions. And my grandfather, who was an ish yashar, and shenizkeh to learn, find good examples in the Torah and outside of the Torah of yasharim, of rebbeim, role models to emulate and to bring back to Beit HaMikdash. Baruch Adonai Leolam, and amen. Thank you, everybody. Questions? Yeah. You want to do it? I can take a dish.
Thank you, guys.